Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, there's injury news, and we'll talk about it with Sal here in a moment, but it's also a bye week. So for a lot of this, I think it mostly can wait. That's Bernard. That's... I mean, Oliver's back. That might be Milano.
Milano, Kincaid, Samuel, Bernard, Kincaid. All day today, is what McDermott said within the hour here. Palmer and Daquan Jones, both week to week. They were both hurt last night. Jones, during warm-ups.
That was a blow.
Popped his calf, is how McDermott termed it after the game, and Palmer got hurt on his second reception of the game. Was there a flag on that for a hip drop tackle? Because he got hip drop tackled there. I thought
there's never been a flag for a hip drop tackle. There's only fines.
Oh,
have you ever seen a flag thrown?
I feel like yes, but I might be confusing that with horse collar.
Okay, I don't think I've ever seen a flag for it. Yeah. It's always just like the next day, and there's replays, and maybe there's a fine. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. Well, Sal, some night in Atlanta, you know, maybe starting with Daquan Jones after you got done with us, we had that injury. I saw it first from you. And, like, I don't know, I'm not a big believer in sort of, like, tone-setting stuff, but that wasn't great to hear.
No, not at all. And when you're already only at four defensive tackles, they had three, and they elevated Jordan Phillips. Now you're going to... You have only a four, and then you lose one. You're back down to three, and one of them is a guy who hasn't played in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, right? I mean, like, at Oliver, what's his conditioning level? You're not expecting him to go out there and, play 80% of the snaps, and now suddenly you have to have all those guys, play so much. And I'm sure by the end of the game, that's tiring and taxing on you. So that was one. He's week to week, as McDermott just said to us on our Zoom call. He's week to week. Excuse me, Daquan Jones. With the calf, he was in a boot after the game. We saw him, Josh Palmer. So I just heard your conversation. I thought it was hip drop as well. The guys this morning said it wasn't. I went back and looked. It doesn't look like it's hip drop because he pulled him down as he's on the ground. Like the guy, the tackler is kind of on the ground and pulls him down. I thought it was hip drop as well. But you're right, Mike. They don't actually throw a flag for that anymore. It's all it is you get fined later. But it did look like it in real time to me. I'll say that.
Palmer goes up for that ball. It'd be a tough penalty. He's jumping to catch it. He sort of stops and jumps to catch it. Well, it's low on the list today, isn't it? Just what happened on that play. Sal, what went wrong in this game? It wasn't one of these games where, like even last week, I think you could say, well, but for this and this, this bounce or this call, you get there. I mean, this was not a game. I mean, the Bills were just never the better team in this game, I want to say.
They weren't. What went wrong was, again, the same thing that went wrong in the Patriots in a different way. Details. I mean, I think if you don't line up offsides in the first play of the game, it's a totally different game. I really do. I mean, like, this is a basic part of football that, you should know. Lining up right. Lining up on sides. Sean McDermott said this after the game, and he's right. I mean, you learn this when you're a young kid playing in Pop Warner, and, people want to blame coaches or whatever. Like, they go over this stuff. They do this stuff in practice. So, yeah, I that's number one. Details, lining up offsides on Ed Oliver when they have a five-yard stop or in the backfield, whatever it was, 3-4-yard stop. Should have been second and 13. Instead, it's first and five because on offsides, there goes Bijan Robinson. You made it easier on them to basically do, you know, run that type of play and just kind of – and then yep. he runs 81 yards.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all those things matter.
Right. Maybe, yeah, if it's second and 13, maybe that's a pass play.
100%.
You know, who knows? And maybe you got, maybe you get them again or whatever. Like you just, you might have them on their heels. You know, the lining off offsides thing. Like, I don't know if I've ever heard a guy talk about how it happens to them, because it doesn't really make that much sense to me that you could ever really do it. Like, I understand that it's his head, right? That's in the neutral zone, right? But if you're a defensive lineman, you're looking at the ball, aren't you, to see when it's going to be
yes.
snapped? So
yes.
how do you not recognize that you're too far? Like if Greg Rousseau, in other words, is looking to his right, can he tell from the angle, like, oh, I'm a half a foot or 2 inches or whatever too far ahead?
Yes, you're supposed to. You know, it's the same thing, the wide receiver in the Chiefs game a couple of years ago, right?
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're so far away from the ball sometimes. He's not as far away in that sense. But yes, I'm not making an excuse here. You're 100% right, but sometimes when you line up, you don't realize there's also a crown on the field, right? That could kind of mess with you a little bit. You know, just kind of the angle you're on. Maybe you're on an angle where you're trying to get to the quarterback as an offensive end, as a pass rusher, you know? And then I think Ed Oliver jumped. Ed Oliver actually left a little early and was in the neutral zone.
Right, that's
his
different.
Particular play.
Right.
And it's the same thing, but, you know, watch the ball. The ball's right in front of you if you're Ed Oliver, right? Watch
right.
the ball. So anyway, that's number one. The other thing was, I mean, they just did not have answers for all the pressure. And look, we talked about this before the game about being familiar with the opponent. And I said, well, they have coaches. Jeff Ulbrich had a game. He had a game plan. He had a real good game plan to dial up exotic pressures on Josh Allen. They knew this team very well, and they just kept doing what they do best. They went after the Bills. And I think they said the Bills don't have answers to beat us if we come after them. And they didn't. And Josh has been so good against the blitz, but you got to get open early in the down. And they just don't have guys who are getting open early in the down. I also think losing Josh Palmer really hurt them in this game, guys. I mean, the Bills had a game plan for Josh Palmer. He had 60 yards before he was hurt, before the first half, and two catches. I thought he was a guy that they were really going to focus on, and that was going to be a big part of what they did. So, I mean, a lot went wrong. And then, of course, the first half defense was just abysmal again. Good job in the second half. Really good, you know, doing it with, you know, duct tape and
yeah.
you know, whatever. But, I mean, you know, putting it together. But that put them behind, and they couldn't recover. I point more towards, though, you have the ball three times in the second half, down one score with Josh Allen as your quarterback, and you can't score, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, these were like three and outs usually, too, throughout
right.
the night when they...
Except for the other one that was the end around to Elijah Moore, right?
The
I mean,
turnover.
That was the fumble. That's eight plays. Now, look, if he doesn't fumble, maybe you go for it on fourth down because he gets stopped right at the line. But because he fumbled, it goes backward. He gets stopped. I think that's how it went either way. But
yep.
if he doesn't lose yardage at least, you know,
yep.
maybe. But my issue is, I'm sure with everybody else, you have Josh Allen and you have James Cook. Run the ball forward twice and you're getting a first down.
Maybe next game.
They have really been, I think, spooked since the championship game about the sneak. Like, they missed a couple of times in that game. One, of course, you know, very notable near the end that a lot of people will still tell you they had, but the, you know, mm-hmm. spot was bad or whatever. But as that game was unfolding, the first time they got stuffed, I thought, I wonder if they're going to get scared off of this play. And they did. They kept trying it, but it didn't work ultimately. And now it just feels like maybe they're trying to find something else that they can fold in here, or at least maybe, Sal, right, run this end-around play, at least give teams, Philadelphia did this a couple weeks ago, give them something else to think about on this, and then maybe we can go back to the safe, easy, you know, version of the tush-push.
Yeah, and look, he wasn't defending, and I'm not defending the call, but Eric Wood made a good point in the broadcast when he said, the advantage when you do something like that is when you line up as a tush push, of course, you're bringing so many defenders into the box. You're bringing so many defenders from tackle to tackle. So if you can execute that play, he could be out the gate and he's gone. I mean, he has a big play. And that's what they're trying to do there. And I get that. I just think that, you know, why outsmart? It feels to me like the Bills are trying to outsmart themselves on offense sometimes. And you don't need to do that. You know, just do what works. And it was working with James Cook. James Cook had a great start to the second half. And You know, just hand him the ball and go forward. Or you don't even have to have Josh Allen, dude. I think you were just running the ball well enough to do it.
Which game did Vandermark play? Because there was also a play in the game he played that was a short yardage play where he had to come from his, you know, from right to left. And if he gets there, I think that it ends up being a big gain. But he trips on Torrance. And like, so this is three games in a row where they've had some sort of mishap in a, I don't know, I'm going to settle for too cute of a play call in a short yardage situation.
Yep, that's right. And that was a like a counter type of handoff play. So Sean was asked about it again today on the Zoom call. He said, because he said last night, you know, that what was his phrasing he used last night? We can be better than that or something like that. So he was asked to follow up on that today. And his quote to us was, you know, Joe's a great offensive coordinator and play caller, but you go through a game and there are always plays you want back. He knows how I feel about it. We talked about it again this morning. I remain confident in him putting us in good position.
How do you feel about...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bills' failure to cover Drake London last night, Sal. Like, was it different guys? Was there a strategic flaw in what they were doing? I mean, it's a little bit tough right now because questions abound about the Bills' receivers and how good they are at getting open. Brady had a comment last week about like just how something to the effect of how rarely does anybody really separate. I'm not sure that
in
that's,
the league, right? Yeah,
that that's exactly it. But yeah, and then London had an amazing night.
It was literally the when you're in the backyard, or I should say, out in the street, and you're like, go to the fire hydrant and turn around, and like you do that, and just nobody's home, and you just throw it to him, right? I mean, that's what he did. He just went to the fire hydrant and turned around, and there was nobody there, and the Bills are playing zone defense, zone coverage, and he's just finding zones. He's in the slot, and when you're in the slot and you're closer to the middle of the field, now he didn't play slot every play, I'm sure, but. It's easier to find zones because things spread out in the middle of the field. You have more seams. You can do that. And they knew where the Bills would kind of be and what they wanted to do. And he's just like, okay, I'm just going to go there. And they made things so easy on their quarterback. You know, Sean made a comment last night, which he's right. We made things too hard on their quarterback. Well, the Falcons made things easy on their quarterback.
Right.
I mean, Michael Penix didn't have to do much in this game. He had decent numbers. They were okay. 20-32, 250 is nice yardage. But, I mean, I don't even know what his A-dot was. He didn't throw the ball downfield a couple times, and usually they didn't hit it when they threw it downfield, to be honest with you. There were a couple that were mid-level passes, but it was, okay, Drake, just run 10 steps and turn around, and I'll find you because it's zone defense. And, I mean, once the Bills started to play a little more man-to-man, they were tighter in coverage. That was great. That was working for them a little bit better. That was a nice adjustment they made in the second half. But I don't get it. You guys talked about it before. I saw that when I looked at the box score after the game, I'm looking at it right now, First of all, 16 targets for Drake London. 16 targets.
Half
that tells
the team
you what
total.
They were what yeah, right, what they were thinking about, you know, Drake London in this game. He had 10 catches. Outside of that, zero catches for any wide receiver. Think about that. They had one receiver have 10 catches. No other receiver caught a pass for them in this game.
Yeah, they play without Mooney. They scratch Ray McLeod. It's almost like they thought, we're not going to need any other receivers.
Casey Washington had two targets.
Two empty targets.
Right. No catches.
Right.
Is there a Hairston update?
There is. Sean said there is a chance they will open his practice window in the coming week. So I'm guessing that would be next week because they're not going to practice this week. They have a bye week. So that would give them 21 full days next week. To be on the field starting next week. And then you're looking at what, week 7, or so week 8, 9, 10. So week 10 would be the comeback, I guess, for him to be on the active roster. So we'll see about that. Didn't hear anything on Tyler Bass. Unfortunately, didn't get to that, and we heard the Hairston, and then I thought about it later, didn't know anything about Bass. He didn't say anything about Bass, but on Hairston, he did say there's a chance there, and we all know that Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi are coming back as of today, by the way. Now, I don't think they have to be put on the active roster today. They might, but it won't matter, guys. They have 51, so they'll just put two guys. Whenever it happens this week or next week, whatever the operation is of the league and how you have to do these things, it's not going to matter because they have two open roster spots.
Okay, so they're going to get away here. When does that start? Are they there tomorrow or is it over?
Well, there's nothing for the media. That was today. So I don't know what their exact schedule is of their meetings and workouts and things like that. But generally on the bye week, the players are here through like Wednesday, and they'll do some different stuff in the facility with the coaches, and you know, and then they'll get away as the week goes on. And then CBA, what, like in the CBA, they have to have like, think 4 days consecutive off. So that's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Thanks for this. If you want to talk tomorrow, I'd be up for it. I know you're going to get away too at the end of the week, but tomorrow's yours if you want it.
Okay. You got it. Thanks.
All right, that's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Yeah, what is your outlet at this point?
Liquor.
In this case.
It works out pretty well.
How about hockey?
It works out pretty well for this sponsorship. Well, the Sabres have got, I think, six games before the Bills play again. So, you know, that'll be welcomed.
Six chances to maybe get ahead in a game.
Right.
For the first time.
Have a lead. Hang a banner.
All right. We're ready for you. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.